Hello and welcome back to That Guy's Wrestling Podcast. It has been about a week or so since I have been in your ears or in your face, however it is you're choosing to listen to me. Since the Money in the Bank live stream, I did. Those of you that watched and checked it out, that was on Mother's Day. Thanks for tuning in and watching me as I sat on my living room table, and I busted that at one point in the middle. No, so hopefully that wasn't the only highlight and takeaway that you took from it. But yeah, it is great to be back. Great to be back on the Fight Bananas, That Guy's Wrestling Podcast. So a lot has happened since the last time we talked. First and foremost, the man is pregnant. So never thought I'd say that out loud. The man is pregnant. Becky Lynch is having a baby, taking some time off, and I think that is amazing. I think that is great on so many levels. First of all, congratulations to her and Seth Rollins. I mean, having a kid, that's awesome. It's challenging. It's a pain in the butt. It's going to keep her from sleeping. There's so many things that make it challenging, but overall, it is amazing. So congratulations to her. And on a wrestling level, I am glad she has dropped the belt. Man, she has had it way too long. She's great. She's talented. She's awesome. You know, but nobody needs to hold any belt for over a year. That's just too damn long. So, it just kind of stinks that it took a baby to have her lose the belt, but it is what it is. So we will move on. So we had that. And then we had our Money in the Bank matches where we had a tag team wrestler win one briefcase, and we had a woman win another briefcase that didn't have a contract that had a belt in it. It sure was strange. But Asuka is the new champ thanks to Becky Lynch's pregnancy. And Otis is your Money in the Bank winner. So it has been an interesting, interesting week. But that's not where I'm going to bring the focus of today's episode. This quarantine time where everybody has been home, I think... And it wouldn't be going too far out on a limb saying the most popular social, TV, whatever you want to call it, events that have occurred during this quarantine time would have to be the Tiger King and the Last Dance Michael Jordan documentary. So both documentary type series. I mean, both of them were super good in different ways. So I'm going to take my spin on these two and put it into a wrestling question. I'm going to pose a wrestling question towards you. And then, of course, I'm going to, answer it myself first. And then I will allow you guys to chime in however you want to on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, however it is you are following That Guy's Wrestling Podcast to chime in your thoughts. And so we're going to take it from two sides. Which wrestler do you think would be best to portray in a Last Dance type documentary? And then which wrestler do you think would make for a great Tiger King style documentary? Now, I'm using those two differently because obviously Michael Jordan is the greatest basketball player of all time. And Joe Exotic is... he's something. He's something else. He was so bad, he was good. He was, kind of like a car crashed, hard to look away. So we're going to start with that one first. So when I was thinking about it, I watched it and I was entertained. And I thought to myself, this guy was a personality. He drew you in just by the way he acted, talked, spoke, the things he said, the things he did. He had competitors that he was trying to put out of business. He was a bit of a rock star, allegedly. Who knows if that was actually his voice? And actually, I know it wasn't. But and then he just had something about him that was just like it drew in the casual viewer. I mean, if I would have told you a couple of months ago that many people across the country would be hooked by a documentary about a guy who owns a zoo, you would have thought, "Hey, you're crazy." So in posing this question, I'm trying to figure out what wrestler could we make this documentary about that, you know, that would draw in the casual viewers in this way. So I, and I'm going to keep it semi-current. I mean, you got, if you want to respond to somebody from, you know, 70s, 60s, you know, some older time or some more independent or isolated thing, that's fine. I want to hear those comments. But so, you know, obviously one that jumped out at me, and I'll give you three, and then I'll end with the one that I think would be the best. But the first one that kind of jumped out at me was someone like Jeff Hardy. And I've, you know, they have been talking about his comeback and all of the ups and downs. So he fits a lot of what I was looking for, because he is eccentric. He is interesting. He has jumped, you know, where instead of like necessarily putting other companies out, but he has worked for different wrestling companies. You know, most notably for the WWE, which is famous for trying to put all the other companies out of business. He is, you know, he's got a rock star personality. He's had his run-ins with the law, and they, you know, they've mentioned some of this on as they're trying to prep Jeff Hardy up for one more run. The only thing that I think would make it like just kind of disqualify him from being my number one is that Joe Exotic thought more of himself than he actually was. And I've never gotten that air from Jeff Hardy that he views himself higher or better or is arrogant. He just is very down to earth. So that would be the one thing that I think would be kind of missing. So, but I think he'd be very interesting. And I think, a lot of fans, a lot of casual viewers would tune in. The next one I thought of, is Chris Jericho. Now, if you think about his career, I mean, he is a rock star. He is a mega personality. There's so much interest about him. And he has worked for multiple companies trying to put out other companies out of business. And, you know, again, most notably working for the WWE as they kind of put WCW and ECW out of business. And now he's kind of working for another company, an upstart company, trying to put the big millionaires. He's the small dude trying to work up against the WWE or the Carol Baskins of professional wrestling. So, but then along the same lines of Jeff Hardy, I think to myself, like, well, he does currently call himself the best wrestler in the world. That's more of his gimmick that goes along with his character. In all regards, he has always been one in the wrestling business to put others over. He does have a little bit of a, you know, natural humble streak. So I do think he'd be great. I do think a lot of viewers would tune into that. But again, it's not quite the number one choice I have, because he's actually, you know, he's great. He is really great. And when you think of what wrestler would make a great Joe Exotic type, train wreck type documentary, I don't know if Jeff Hardy and Chris Jericho are quite the train wrecks we are looking for. So my number one choice for a Joe Exotic Tiger King style wrestling documentary would be Enzo Amore. Now, he's not currently wrestling, and so just like Joe Exotic does not currently own his zoo, if you really think about it, and you might be blasting and ripping this choice right away, but again, we're talking about like a train wreck that would just draw in your casual viewer, someone who doesn't necessarily follow it, but then would start watching it and be like, oh my God, this guy is ridiculous, and tell their friends. When he was at his height of popularity in professional wrestling, I mean, he was as popular as can be. He was, you know, everybody in the arena would spout out his catchphrases, would sing along, would you know, just eat up his gimmick. But like Joe Exotic, he tends to think he is much bigger and better than he actually was. I mean, he was great on the mic. He had an electric personality, both like Joe Exotic. He has attempting a music career since he's left professional wrestling. and I will say attempting, just like the way Joe Exotic has attempted a music career. You know, not exactly great, but it is, you know, he does have that energy, and it is interesting, and you just want to listen. You know, it's not going to be good, but you want to hear it. He has had his run-ins with the law. He is just, from all accounts, a kind of a douche. And as, you know, as interesting as Joe Exotic appeared on cameras, all accounts are that he was a bit of an asshole behind the scenes, and just treated people badly. And that's ultimately what led to Enzo being released, you know, him rubbing people the wrong way and treating people poorly. And that just doesn't work in the wrestling business. So I really do think there's probably enough footage, I'm sure he has recorded enough of himself. He is the type of, he's got that megalomaniac personality. He seems real interested in, documenting himself, doing what he can to make himself a star, however that may be, and not always in a good way. So that would be my pick for a Tiger King style WWE documentary. I think it would be fascinating, and I think if done right, it would be so good and also so bad at the same time. Now, as far as The Last Dance, which, God, was so good. I remember hating Michael Jordan growing up, and because he was so, so good. And now, as I've gotten older, I feel like I've been defending his greatness because it was just unrivaled how good he was. And they did such a great job with the documentary. And so, like I said, when it comes to a WWE-style documentary, Last Dance-type documentary, you got to think greatness. Now, again, this I've talked to some people when I was mentioning the theme of this documentary, and some people gave me some answers, and they gave me their thought processes, I'm gonna give you an honorable mention and three other possibilities for this documentary for greatness, and part of it is them being overall great. This doesn't, in wrestling, you know, this can be your opinion of who is the greatest. I'm not necessarily saying that my number one pick is the greatest. Oh, I think he is one of the greatest of all time. So my honorable mention would be Ric Flair. And you know what? I know a lot of people view him as the greatest wrestler of all time. That's fine. That's your opinion. I don't. I think he is great. I think he is, you know, he's up there, certainly. I think the 16 world titles, that's great. I just think a Last Dance documentary about Ric Flair, like, I don't think it would be entertaining. Like, it would be, hey, I'm Ric Flair, and I'm a limousine riding, jet flying son of a gun trying to sleep with women in the 70s. And then again in the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s. And the 2010s, while he's way too old to be doing all of those things. And if they wanted, they could transition it to his daughter, who is doing the exact same gimmick. Hasn't changed a thing. She is literally the female version. She's Ric Flair in a wig. Yes, he is great. He has put on, he has a multiple decades worth of great rivalries, great matches. But I don't think it would be as interesting. I don't think you could, unravel it in a way that would really lock us in the way, The Last Dance did. So my number three choice would be John Cena. He, is probably the greatest of this current generation. His ability to reach, worldwide fame, movie star status, being the biggest star of the company as they launched their network, the behind the scenes charity aspects of his career, the transitions from generic John Cena character, the ruthless aggression John Cena, to the rapping style of John Cena, to the fan favorite, fan mega favorite John Cena, to him kind of sticking with that same character despite, you know, a large portion of the audience booing it, and him doing so because of the overall merchandising aspect, the fan aspect, the kid aspect, you know, the Make-A-Wish thing that he, you know, that's so he's so synonymous with. So I really do think that they could, you know, flashback from beginning to end of his career, going through all of those different stages. I think he is still prominent enough. While he isn't quite the wrestler, you know, he once was, because he is transitioning to Hollywood. I think they're, you know, that he's still so prominent that I think this, you know, I think that he would be a great fit for it. You know, as my number three choice. My number two is the Hulkster, the Hulk Maniac, Hulk Hogan. He is a large part of why the WWE is the number one company in the world. He started back in the day when there were still territories, and the WWF at the time was trying to consolidate it all. He was there for the first WrestleMania, and Vince McMahon himself has gone on record of enough times of saying that if that WrestleMania, that first WrestleMania didn't work, it might have potentially sunk the company. And, you know, he took what was typically a regional entertainment, and he helped, you know, globalize it. And it, you know, it was Hulk Hogan was that star that helped unite everybody. He was just so huge. You know, so many of us grew up with him as our favorite wrestler as a kid. And to see to see behind the scenes, how he turned from that character, and then there was such a, you know, an aspect of him having this pull behind the scenes, to help protect himself and his character. And, you know, as a kid, you're just like, I just want to see Hulk Hogan win. But as you've gotten older, you hear all these stories of what was really happening and how he helped protect himself to make sure that he was winning, and, you know, who he had to step on to make sure that was continuing to happen. And then when it fell apart in the WWE, you know, he transitioned to WCW and helped form the NWO, which became a massive, massive hit, and, you know, and propelled WCW to being the number one wrestling company in the world for a while. And, you know, again, same thing. On the forefront, it looks like, you know, superstar wrestler doing on top of the world. And then there was so much backstage, behind-the-scenes politics, you know. And in between, there was, you know, small roles in movies and TV and cartoons and other things. And then he eventually transitioned back to the WWE, got to the top of the game, became champion again. And then, of course, there was the controversy towards the end of his career, you know, that had him erased from the company for a few years. And now he's back trying to, you know, keep his good name and kind of close it out. But I really think that would make absolutely compelling, you know, compelling story, you know, especially if you were able to get as much access behind the scenes, you know, perhaps as they were able to pull in The Last Dance. That would be, you know, just be, it would be so, I think it'd be so cool to hear some of the people who he went up against and who were part of the backstage politics that he was involved in. So I think that would be a great one to see. But if I had a number one choice, if I got to pick which wrestler I would see in a Last Dance style documentary series, it would definitely be Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He is one of my all-time favorites. He is just awesome. He's electric. Now, his career, his in-ring wrestling career, would be shorter, obviously, than Hulk Hogan, than John Cena, even than Ric Flair. But his rise to stardom, not just in the wrestling ring, but as a worldwide, you know, he's potentially the biggest star in the world right now. So to see where he came from, to failed football player, to, you know, no money in his pocket, to trying to enter the wrestling business while, you know, under the Rocky Maivia gimmick, that was just, you know, awful. And then he transitioned that, you know, he started seeing semblance of the Rock. You know, he turned heel and he was, you know, a player in the Nation of Domination. He was part of it. It was just clear that he figured it out. And he was able to just take it to the next level and take over. And then he was just a massively popular bad guy. And it got to the point where there was no way to keep it that way. And he became, you know, the most electrifying man in sports entertainment, and eventually the most electrifying man in all of entertainment. And to watch him transition kind of back and forth, and he was jumping back and forth from Hollywood to wrestling. I think just watching that transition, I think would just make for such good TV. I mean, of course, you know, he has done so many in-ring promos, interviews, behind the scenes. He's hilarious. He's entertaining, energetic. I mean, I've watched the Last Dance documentary, and there were so many times where Jordan just put quotes, sayings, trash talk that was just, I found hilarious. And The Rock was the same way. He was great. He would tell you he was great, and he would back it up. So that's what I think. I would love to see, you know, so hopefully, ESPN, if you want to get on that for me, you know, give me the Dwayne The Rock Johnson documentary. I would appreciate it. Netflix, you guys are just always scooping up things. I'm sure give Enzo Amore a call. I know he would do it. He would be glad to get any kind of exposure. He would enjoy it very much. So if it happens, I want a little bit of cred, you know, producer credit, throw it out there. So tell me what you think. Drop some comments in the, like I said, follow me on Facebook. If you look, go to Facebook, search That Guy's Wrestling Podcast. You can do the same on Twitter, on Instagram, all that good stuff. And then I have my own tab now under the iHeartRadio iTunes section of Fight Bananas. So go to Fight Bananas on both of those. Look me up. And if you, you got any questions, comments, you want to get on the show, hit me up. I love having guests on the show. So I appreciate the listeners, and I am done and tapping out.